Thank you for joining us for The Power of Faith with David Hathaway. It is our hope that you will be inspired and encouraged by today's message. We pray God's blessing upon you as you listen today. Don't forget to visit our website, eurovision.org.uk, for more information on David's ministry. In today's episode, David teaches from the book of Acts, chapter 1. This is a pivotal moment in the early days of the church. Jesus says to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is a powerful commission, setting the trajectory for the spread of the gospel. Following the ascension of Jesus, the disciples returned to Jerusalem, obeying Jesus' command to wait for the Holy Spirit. They gather in the upper room, a place that becomes significant in the early Christian community. It's a time of anticipation and unity as they devote themselves to prayer. The disciples are on the brink of a new era, filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit and the mission to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, join David for today's inspiring message.
We now come back to verse 7, where Jesus says, "Don't bother about the times or the seasons, be concerned about today." Because in verse 8, one of the most important things Jesus ever said, "You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be the witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world." So the emphasis of Jesus very clearly in his last words to his disciples, because this is just before he's taken up, in his last words to his disciples, he says, the whole concentration is this: you have to be the witnesses, and the Holy Spirit I will send will be the power to enable you to do it. And you know, I spent some time 4 or 5 years ago in one of my prayer works, and I was really talking to the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Holy Spirit, you know Jesus better than any of us. I want you to tell me, what was the key to the power that Jesus had?" And it became absolutely clear, as the Holy Spirit revealed to me from Scripture, that when Jesus was born, he gave up his heavenly power and heavenly authority and lived as a man limited, as we are limited. And it wasn't until after his baptism with John in the Jordan, when the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, that from that moment he received the power which transformed his life. And what he is saying here is to these humble men, including Peter, who only days before at the trial had denied that he knew Jesus, denied Jesus 3 times, as you know. But Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will give you the power to transform your lives so that you can fulfill this ministry. And in verse 9, of course, we come to this. And when he had said this, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So literally, the last commandment, the last message from Jesus is wait. They had to wait another 10 days, that's all, until the 50th day, 50 days, Pentecost 50. And what he's saying, wait, because when the Holy Spirit is come, everything will change. You who have no power in yourselves will be transformed by the same power that transformed Jesus, and you will continue the works of Jesus. So verse 10, while they watched and looked towards heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white clothes. And in verse 11, this is what the men said. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come back in the same way as you have seen him go." Now, this is quite clear. This quite clearly states how Jesus will come back. He was taken from the apostles, and they saw him go. And I believe that exactly the same, when he comes back, we shall see him come back. The result in verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem. They were on the Mount of Olives, by the way, when that happened. And verse 13 says, when they were come in, they went into an upper room where Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, and James, and Simon, and also Judas, the brother of James, these 11 continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here we have the first gathering of what was to become the church. And it comprises not the 12, because Judas is gone, the 11 apostles, the family of Jesus, his mother, and his brothers. It's quite significant. You know, it's very significant the way that we don't read an awful lot about his brother, the brothers of Jesus during the Gospels, but now here they are. And to me, this is very significant. They're all there, his mother and his brothers. I'm assuming that his father probably had died, because he's not mentioned any further. And then, verse 15, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and it says quite clearly the number of people was about 120. It doesn't say precisely. I think we assume that it was exactly, but it says about 120. And this is what Peter is saying, verse 16. "Men and brethren, this scripture needs to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Jesus, which betrayed Jesus." So if you got it right, Peter's first comments here, this scripture has to be fulfilled, that which the Holy Ghost by David said beforehand concerning Judas, who was to betray him. Verse 17, "He was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." And you know, it's very, very interesting, because Judas was obviously one of the 12 chosen. And sometimes I ask the question, why, when Jesus must have known from the beginning that Judas was a thief. Yes, the scripture says he was a thief because he was taking money from the common purse. And Jesus must also have known, because it was prophesied, that Judas would betray him. And it leads me to the inescapable fact that even in this, there was a purpose, because somebody had to betray Jesus in order that he would be taken and die.
David has a vision in his soul. Eurovision, a vision of Europe won for Christ. This vision is God's vision, God's desire, to see his power, his glory, in Europe, and David will not rest until God fulfills this vision that he has put within David's soul. This new year, David will be ministering in Ukraine, Central Asia, Poland, and many other nations. During these challenging times in Ukraine, in June, we held a National Day of Prayer for Ukraine, in the city of Bucha, a place of Russian atrocities, cruelty, and destruction. The next National Day of Prayer will be held in June 2024, when our staff are believing that we will thank God for his total victory. To make a donation to support our work, visit eurovision.org.uk/donation. All David's life, he has been following a powerful, prophetic vision. Hearing God's voice behind him, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And now, as David explores Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in his new book, Power, Your Inheritance, the book of Ephesians explored, David is seeing more clearly what God's ultimate plan is for us to fulfill. It is by revelation of the Holy Spirit that step by step, all his life, David has lived the miracles of the Bible. Now, take your Bible, open it to Ephesians, and follow David through the revelation he has received and wants to share with you. Order David Hathaway's book, Power, Your Inheritance, the book of Ephesians explored, by visiting eurovision.org.uk/shop. Thank you for listening to the Power of Faith broadcast with David Hathaway. We would love to hear from you. Contact us by visiting eurovision.org.uk. Also available online are many free teaching resources to help you on your walk with God. David has written many faith-building books to encourage and inspire. Order these online today. Each month, David ministers online and in person. Our ministry is only possible because of the faithful support of so many people. For details on our evangelism and humanitarian relief work, visit eurovision.org.uk. Thank you again for listening.